Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gaurav, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIIT Limited conference call. For the duration of the presentation, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode. I will be standing by for the question and answer session. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. Thank you, Gaurav. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining on the call. Just want to introduce people who are going to be with me. Mr. Pawar, Chairman of the company. Mr. Rajendran, Chief Operating Officer. Dr. Day, looks after the finance management training business. Mr. Basu, who would be taking questions on corporate learning solutions. Mr. Vijay Kumar, Mr. Kapil Saurabh, Chetna. All of them joining us to handle the queries that you will have. So I just wanted to take everybody through the presentation very quickly so that we set the stage for discussion. First of all, as usual, I would like to talk a little bit about the environment. In the environment, I think there are three or four points which I would like to highlight. First, the growth in the IT sector. While last year's growth was fairly impressive and new jobs got created, this year the IT sector continues to be resilient despite the slowdown in US and would grow at a slightly lower growth rate. The growth expectation is also tempered on account of possible slowdown in decision making in newer projects, as we hear from people's results. That, of course, has an impact on the hiring patterns, but at the same time, the number of hires that are required this year are also very substantial. The second is there is an increased, emphasis on hiring non-engineering graduates such as BSc's and BCom's. TCS and Infosys have already talked about numbers this quarter, and we see that as a very encouraging sign. The third is that a boom environment is predicted for employers, according to the Manpower India Employment Outlook, and the outlook is the strongest in the services sector, followed by finance, insurance, and retail and real estate. Fourth, the whole government spend, which we have talked about, which is five times more than 11th five-year plan as compared to the previous one, is showing itself in some very interesting projects. There is a project going on right now to look at public-private partnership models to set up 6,000 model schools, and this is education beyond ICT education, which also offers an interesting opportunity. So overall, in terms of education and training activity, I think we see strong tailwinds globally. Both in terms of employability education and then workforce productivity and, of course, improving the overall quality of education. So in this context, I would like to talk about the financial highlights of the quarter. System-wide revenues were up by 25% at 3.6 billion. Net revenues were up by 15% at 2.6 billion. I will, at a later stage, explain the system-wide revenue and the net revenue gap. The EBITDA was up by 29% to be at 187 million. The operating margin has improved 78 basis points year-on-year, despite strong pressures on costs coming out of inflationary trends. The PAT, the profit after tax from our operations, was actually up at 27% year-on-year, which is in line with the EBITDA. However, due to a lower growth in the associates and in associates profit, our overall PAT is up only by 10%, which is at 170 million, which leads to an EPS of 1 rupee, approximately 1 rupee 3 paisa, reflecting a 10% year-on-year growth. So overall, we would like to talk about this quarter as a quarter where we had accelerating revenues. I want to remind that in the last two quarters, our year-on-year growth was at 6% each quarter. And from there, we have jumped to 15% growth. Accelerating revenues coupled with improvement in profit, very much on a year-on-year basis. As you know, the business is seasonal and there are peculiarities in each part of the business. So the right comparison is year on year. In terms of the highlights of the business, the strongest growth and volume came from individual learning solutions as expected. They continued on a high growth, a 38% year on year. EBITDA was up 114%, margin was up 571 basis points. When I refer to individual learning solutions, I'm referring to IT as well as finance management training and the work. Then going down one level lower, in IT training, the revenues were up 34%, EBITDA was up 42%. The FMT space, which is IFP and Imperia, they grew 104% year on year. Last year they had a negative EBITDA of 35 million. This year they had a positive EBITDA. So that has also worked well for this business. School Learning Solutions, of course, was a big news creator. There was the new thrust resulted in our winning some very impressive tenders. Andhra Pradesh, 2005 schools, which was an order worth 173 crores. Which we added during the year, during the quarter. In addition to that, we got some order extensions in Chhattisgarh and Bihar. Overall order intake was 2.02 billion, which is one of the, not one, the highest ever we have had in a single quarter. The second part was revenue, which in which most of this order intake is not yet visible, was up 42% year on year. And the EBITDA grew 53%. In corporate learning solutions, on the other hand, we did see softness in our US geography revenues in certain sectors of discretionary spend, which have to do with custom projects and custom content development. And overall, the business was flat year on year, though there was a 5% QOQ growth. Why quarter on quarter growth is relevant in this case is because we talked about changing the product mix more towards learning products and training outsourcing, and that part did grow both year on year as well as quarter on quarter for us to therefore get the quarter on quarter growth. The India part of the corporate training revenues grew 114%. The training outsourcing and learning products grew 15% year on year. The fresh order intake was 39.2 million. Dollars, lots of it coming from training products and training outsourcing and the learning products. That order intake itself grew 45% year on year, and that revenue has grown 15%. on the consolidated financials, just a few comments on a few extra line items. I already explained about EBITDA, 78 basis points improvement. I do want to talk about the fact that there was a higher cost pressure in three areas, travel, energy, premises, rentals. And of course, we also have this quarter when we have higher salary hikes. I mean, we have the salary hikes. And we saw the impact of those. In addition to that, given the fact that we had some new businesses, there were new campaigns and new products, because of which the marketing spend was a little higher than what we have in this quarter, typically nearly 20 million rupees or so to do with new campaigns, and some of them you may have seen on television and others. Depreciation was lower because we were discussing a lower asset base to be serviced. In other income, we had much lower interest. There was some write-back of some old provisions in provision for tax in line with our deferred tax asset creation policy. Some deferred tax assets got created because of past losses in Element K and our overall geography in NIT USA, which is what led to operational net profit to increase from 64 million to 82 million. Share of profit from associates was actually down by 2 million, which means nearly flat, and that's what PAT of 170 million comprises of. Going one level lower in terms of who contributed what to this, if one took a stock of businesses, Then 52% of the business came from the ILS IT side, 3% from ILS finance management training, which means ILS or individual learning solutions contributed 55%, schools contributed 7%, corporates 38%. This is a definite shift from last year, nearly 700 basis points difference. And I think the losers were corporate. The loser has been corporate, and the gainer has been the individual learning solutions. The same impact could be felt in the geographies as well, where the geography mix, US, Europe, last year same quarter was 45%, is down to 34%. The rest of the world is 17%. India is at 49% compared to 42%. Just 2 points I wanted to make. One, the higher margin and faster growing businesses are occupying larger share of revenues as well as a larger share of profits. And so that is a very nice thing to know. The other thing is that in the rest of the world, this quarter, we did see a surge of activity, which, by the way, we've been watching over the last year in Africa. So our Africa revenues are this time, for the first time, we are reporting it separately as 7% of our system-wide revenue, which is fairly substantial given the fact that it's now beginning to be the same as China and on an overall basis. In terms of EBITDA contribution, 80% of the EBITDA came out of the individual learning solutions, 19% came out of schools. Corporate had a flat quarter, just break even, and I'll explain that as we go along in the details of the quarter. Going down to one level lower in terms of how each of the businesses performed, in individual learning solutions, I think overall, now that we are looking at a target of 16.3 million students and graduates who are our target segment, we now track the number of these graduates who and students who are becoming enrolled with NIT, whether in IT or any of the other activities. That number crossed 100,000 in this quarter. So in this quarter, for us to have 100,000 new enrollments is fairly unique. Our new forays in BPO and KPO training, you would recall the announcement we made about a joint venture with Genpact. That is now getting ready to start, and it will start in this quarter, but a lot of work happened during the quarter on this activity. And yet another, the English and professional language skills, we did make some significant movements in creating the standard for English as a recruitment standard in the country. In the IT training space, which many of you track at this level, our India revenues grew 39% year-on-year. Overall revenues grew 34%. India contributed 69%, China 10%, rest of the world 21%. And in rest of the world, I think the most significant one was Africa's, because that was a large chunk. Overall enrollment growth was 16%. Career enrollments within that were 28%. Our overall seat capacity changed, enhanced by 15% year-on-year, and our utilization was at a higher level. Closing net order book was at 1.7 billion rupees. We did see an improvement in operating margin by 100 basis points. However, at this capacity utilization level, the margin could have been higher. I explained to you about higher marketing spend and the increased salary levels that we saw in this quarter, which contributed to not aligning itself to the complete formula. On the individual learning space, I think an emerging fact which is becoming obvious, like we showed it in IT, partnering with the number one company in that space, getting benefit of domain expertise as credibility, going out to market, getting large number of students to join. So on one hand, we've been adding new partners in the IT training space. In the next few days, we would be announcing a training partnership in business analytics space. So we would hold this till that announcement makes. However, that's in continuation of that. same thing in finance and management training, tie up with the best in terms of the domain partner. So we did have partnership with Indian Institutes of Management. Now we have partnerships with Ahmedabad, Calcutta, Indore, and Lucknow on one side, and then IMT Ghaziabad and Indian Institute, IMT and Indian Institute of Foreign Trade. So together we have run now 22 management programs. One new program we introduced this quarter was in family-owned businesses or management of family-owned businesses. So overall we have 22 programs in management and 6 programs which are career programs in banking, financial services and insurance. The strong points of this quarter were strong enrollment growth, but a large interest being shown in financial planning and insurance courses. Overall, FMT revenues grew 104% year-on-year from a 735 million negative EBITDA which they had last year at the same time. They just about broke even 2 million of positive EBITDA, 2%. Once again, this EBITDA sequentially seems to show a decline, but I want to explain the fact that this is also the time when large marketing campaigns are rolled out to attract the new students. The second, we were also in the middle of an admission cycle, so the quarter has come at a time when the admission cycle is still in progress. On school learning solutions, we had a very good quarter. 2,005 schools were added from Andhra Pradesh. Total schools added was 2,124, which included 133 non-GSS schools. There were a few schools from previous orders which got over. That's the reason the two numbers, the difference, that will explain the difference between the two numbers. We had very good traction both in GSA, which is government, as well as non-government space. Our non-government grew by 21% year-on-year. Our order intake in non-GSA grew by 215%. As you know, this is subscription-based revenue, so it comes over a period of time. Andhra Pradesh, 2005 schools, some extensions in Chhattisgarh and Bihar contributed to the overall order intake that we are talking about. We are now have a pending order book of 3.09 billion, 32% of which is executable in the next 12 months. The EBITDA improvement was again 98 basis points in this case as well. So 42% growth in top line and 98 basis points. Coming down to corporate learning solutions, as I mentioned, we had a flat quarter as far as year-on-year is concerned. However, 5% quarter-on-quarter growth in revenue. If you go one step down, there was one part which grew very well, which is a part we are focusing on, training, outsourcing and learning products. However, that 15% growth was balanced by fairly sluggish custom content and custom project revenues, which is what resulted in an overall flat revenue. We do have an order book in both these cases, and we do believe that this situation will improve as we go further during the year. India part of the corporate revenue grew by 114% year-on-year, and we see that to be a major contributor to the overall growth this year. New product introduction, sales force expansion, and salary increases during the quarter did affect the margin in this case, and we were just at break-even level on this. As you know, we have been working on a very thin margin in this case, but we believe that this is a temporary issue and we will be recovering the margin in subsequent quarters. We had an order intake of $39 million. Our pending order book is at $80 million, 63% executable in the next 12 months. On the balance sheet side, while we generated cash from operations, we retired part of the debt on one hand. On the other hand, our spend on assets increased because of project assets that we added during the quarter to meet some of the requirements of the government orders. So overall, we added 214 million rupees of assets and also capital work in progress where contracts are not yet completed of 160 million rupees. Our DSO days were slightly worse than March 08, 79 days on last 12 months revenues versus 74 days last quarter, predominantly because of the new contracts that we have got into for which the execution happened towards the end of the quarter, and we would be recovering these in the coming in this quarter itself. Overall debt in the balance sheet appears higher, though a large part of it actually is the forex impact of dollar borrowing, which is about 94 million rupees. Overall debt is at 2252 million at this end. Overall, our cash balance is at 476 million rupees. Talking about headcount, we added 139 net headcount during the quarter, and most of this was in India. I already talked about the capacity, and I talked about the new venture of Genpact, joint venture with Genpact to launch training in to launch training for BPO and KPO space. So with that briefing, I would now like to open this for question and answers, and my colleagues will join me in addressing your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the Q&A interactive session. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Participants are also requested to limit to one question during the initial round of Q&A session. To ask a question, participants may please press star 1 now. First in line, we have Mr. Kunal Kohli from AIM Capital.
Hello, Mr. Chadani.
Hello.
On your individual business, you know, you grew 46% this quarter versus your net revenue growth 34%. There's a 12% variance between system and net revenue growth. Could you explain what is the reason for that, and how did the China and rest of the world business grow this year?
Yeah. So, as far as the difference between system-wide revenue and net revenue is, system-wide revenue is all the revenue that the students paid, but all of that revenue doesn't land up in our balance, in our P&L, because we have business partner network who keep a part of this revenue. So if we add up all the fees of all the students, that's what system-wide revenue tells you, and that tells you the attractiveness of the marketplace, how did our market share move. So that is the growth of 46%. The fact that the growth was higher in system-wide revenue actually shows that the product mix moved more towards the tier 2, tier 3 cities and where we have large number of business partners. In this particular case, part of this also got caused by, as I said, a strong growth which we saw in Nigeria. Just want to share one data point with you. We do a scholarship exam in India every year, and we get about 80,000 plus enrollments in that. In Nigeria, which we did the exam about 3 weeks ago, we got 72,000 enrollments. So that shows you the kind of potential that some of these places in Africa have. However, much less of that would get converted into revenue, but that is what one of the things which caused the Africa revenue to shoot up, and there the multiplier would be more. So the product mix change is what explains this difference between, channel mix change, sorry, not product mix, channel mix change suggests the difference between the two.
Have you increased the fees for your franchisees, you know, the revenue sharing?
No. Our revenue sharing pattern with our business partners for a particular product remains the same, but a different product mix may change that marginally one way or the other.
You also mentioned that China grew 10%. Am I right in my understanding?
Yes. And this is, no, actually China did not grow 10%. China, for them, quarter one is their weakest quarter, as you know.
But we are talking about Y on Y numbers.
Yes.
So they grew 10% this?
No, they grew, I think they were flat to 3%. 3%, is that right? Yeah, 3%.
Okay. So now
they contributed 10%.
Now your business has, you know, been growing fairly well, and when do you plan to, you know, expand your margins in this business, considering that, you know, the top line growth has been fairly robust and you are the only large player in this space?
So as we have always maintained, we continue to improve our top line and bottom line growth. Bottom line growth by improving it by a few hundred basis points every even this time it's 100 basis points improvement over last year, despite the fact that we were in a higher cost, environment.
So what should kind of margin should be modeled in, let's say, you know, for next 2 years in this business?
So as we have mentioned before, every year, so last year our overall margin for the year was at 21%, and we are looking forward to improving that by 200 basis points plus this year.
Coming to your new business initiatives, especially Imperia and the financial services initiative, what kind of revenue to expect this year? Are we seeing some impact of slowdown on this business?
Well, there is no impact of slowdown which is visible right now, because the current situation we had already baked into our plans. Whatever is the current situation, which is a different kind of a hiring pattern. The second issue is, for us, since we are on a growth path, and last year we were one of the many sources, and this year we are the only source for provision of people to certain banks, we don't foresee an impact of this as of now. However, if the situation changes for the better, things will improve.
So one should expect 70-80 crore revenues in this business?
Exactly in line with what we have guided you in the past, and that's exactly the number.
On the corporate business front, last time we were talking about currency impact negatively impacting the business last 2-3 quarters.
Yes.
This quarter should have been very good in terms of, you know, currency impact as well as a positive impact on the revenues.
Yes.
So what to, you know, expect on this business, considering we are guiding for energy, a target of 10% margin in the business over next couple of years, while the business didn't make any money in this quarter in spite of such a favorable currency moment?
Yeah, two issues. One, as I have mentioned before, it's a business in transition in terms of working on a set of product mixes which we want to change to move to a higher margin, and higher, accretive revenue or a revenue stream which will accrue over a period of time. So that is impacted to an extent by the slowing down in the U.S. economy, where we do see sluggishness, as I mentioned, in the custom projects, which have to do with discretionary spend. But overall, we do see in learning products and training outsourcing positive growth, and as their share increases in the overall kitty, you would see the positive growth returning. We had guided you for a certain outlook this year, and I think we are in line on that. We are on track as far as that is concerned.
So one would expect some sort of margin improvement in a high single digit to a 15% kind of top line growth in this business.
Mr. Or
would that be optimistic?
No, we had guided you for a 7-10% or 10% thereabouts top line growth, and we think we are on track for that based on our order book and current visibility. And we had also talked of improving last year's margin by 100-200 basis points. Last year our margin was 5%. We are on track as far as that is concerned as well.
In spite of this quarter, you would expect your margins to improve substantially in the next few quarters?
Yes. The reason is very obvious. As I mentioned, in this quarter, if the revenue increase was, even though you have order intake, the new revenue that is coming that accrues slower than custom projects. The custom projects accrue faster. So therefore, if the revenue doesn't make up and your cost structure goes up, because salary increases have to happen, in that case, you do see temporary situations like the one which we talked about.
last two questions. What would have been the impact on your individual, what's the positive impact on individual business and, corporate business because of favorable currency movement?
Okay. Actually, on year-on-year basis, currency movement has, let's talk about sequential and year-on-year both. I have both. Can you just give me that? I'll just pull that sheet out. I have it somewhere. Just see. Okay. Year on year for the corporate side of the business, we had a 28 million negative impact in top line and 6 million negative impact in operating profit for corporate. On a sequential basis, we had a 45 million positive impact in revenue and 8 million positive impact in operating profit.
On the individual business side?
Mr. Kohli, can you come in for question again, sir, because there are other participants signed up.
Individual was very marginal, Sonal.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Ruchit Mehta from HSBC.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir. Just wanted to know, on the corporate side of the business, we had a flat revenue for in this year, this quarter. Could we get a split between how much was from the Element K side of the business?
Okay. The split I have is on the learning products, training outsourcing, and custom content. As you know, Element K is now integrated in many ways. So I'll give you that split in any case. Yeah. So in the 1.4 billion, we had 860 million coming out of learning products, 297 coming out of training outsourcing, and the balance coming out of custom projects.
And just in terms of the outlook for this side of the business, what's your expectation? I mean, would it continue to be flat for the entire year, or do you think it'll actually, show some growth going forward as well?
No. See, that I must explain the transition that we are going through. Custom content is a business which clocks quick revenues as soon as you get the project. Custom content is also the business which is affected by US slowdown because it has to do with discretionary spends, and that's what we have been talking about in the past. So custom projects as a part of the total revenue is reducing. The learning products and training outsourcing put together grew by 15% year on year. And if we continue with that growth rate based on the order intakes that we have got, even out of the $39 million order intake we got, nearly 80% plus is in the other side of the business, the ones which we are looking for, learning products and training outsourcing. So we do see as the revenues from learning products and training outsourcing become larger part and they are the growth revenues, you will see positive growth. So at the end of the year, you will see a positive growth as we had guided before.
Okay. But sir, I'm assuming that these two businesses which are growing are probably higher margin businesses for us. And then if so, then your margin should actually improve, but there's been a substantial fall in margin this year, in this quarter.
That's right. So the margin shortfall is also temporary, as I mentioned, because it's at a lower revenue level where we had a higher salary intake. We had a higher salary increases during the quarter. So if you add up that, you would kind of see that the margin is playing at approximately the levels at which we were. Given going forward, as the product mix changes towards better quality revenue, then margins will improve. And that's why the overall margins will be better than last year.
Okay. And just a bit of questions on the balance sheet. Could we get a figure of the gross debt, please, and the cost of borrowing and the cash balance as well?
Okay. I have the gross debt. I don't have the cost of borrowing. And sorry, what did you say? Cash?
Cash balance.
Cash balance was 476. Millions of rupees.
Okay.
And 2252 was the gross debt. 2252 million? So I said 2252. 2252 million is the debt on the balance sheet.
Well, would the cost of borrowing be substantially higher, as high as 10%, or?
No, we have a lot of it is foreign exchange denominated.
Okay. Would you need for additional debt as you know, as the proportion of revenues on the institutional side, the government school projects keeps on increasing? Do you anticipate the requirement of further capital into the business?
Well, the capital requirement will come out of, as you rightly said, project-based revenues. So right now we are well provided for. However, we are hoping to win some more projects, in which case we would need more funding, which will be backed by those projects.
So, you know, is this move towards more of institutional business deteriorating your working capital cycle?
Not as of now.
Okay. Well, what is that as a percentage of turnover?
Our total working capital days were, debtor days were 79 days, as I mentioned.
Okay. Great. And just finally, what's your CapEx plan for this year?
We had earlier guided to an 800 to 900 million. Rupees,
okay.
Of capex.
Okay. That's the same. There's no change to this.
No. But the project, the new projects may change those things, but those will happen as they come.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Pawan from Deepan Mehta Stock.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So with the Indian economy slowing down, do you see any pressure on your fees in the Tier 2 cities? Hello?
We do not see a pressure in the Tier 2 cities. The important issue is the salary levels detect, in a certain sense, determine what kind of fees we can charge. Salaries have increased, though not at the level at which they had increased previously, but they have increased. So to that extent, the fee structure that we had designed for earlier would work. The other thing which we are also doing is still absorbing the impact of the salary, the price increase which we did last year in terms of product mix change. The third thing which I want to say is there is also an opportunity in getting better realization through better product mix, because different products have different margins.
Okay, and so in the pending order book that you have in the school learning solutions business,
yes,
what are the kind of margins that you expect?
The overall margins in the school business that we have projected for the year are in line with the order intake that we have, because all these orders we had, or we had them in sight when we came up with those numbers.
Okay, and sir, you have your English language training business that you have recently started.
Yes.
Do you plan to take it to China in the near future?
We are already doing English language training in China, but we do it along with IT training.
Okay, so that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Rahul from Lucky Securities. Mr. Rahul, you can go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I had questions on the IFBI and Imperia side. What, according to you, would be the sustainable, stable margins in this business going ahead?
We have mentioned before the sustainable margins in this business are 25%. But right now we are in a growth stage where we are adding capacity, adding products, and filling up capacity.
Okay, and at what annual turnover run rate would this 25% be feasible? 50 crores, 100 crores, or 150 crores. At what would be the inflection point where this 25% would come?
Would you like to comment on that? At what level would this be achievable? About 200, 250 crores.
200 to 250 crores.
Yeah.
And my last question on this front is there an average? Do you have a figure on the average tenure of these courses out here? 1 year, 1.5 year, or something like that.
This is Dr. Day. For the IFBI set of programs,
yeah,
the average duration or the typical duration is 6 months.
Six months.
The Imperia set of programs, the average duration is 11 months.
Yeah, it's 11 months, you said.
11 months, yes.
So out of this 2,500 and more enrollments that you have, how much would be in IFBI and Imperia, roughly?
We don't provide the granular figures here, but the two businesses together account for, as we said, 2516. And within that, we also have a small retraining portion in the corporate side, which is included in this, which is about 20%.
Okay.
Sir, I have one more question on this corporate learning solutions or the Element K.
Yes.
How much had we paid for acquiring Element K?
About $40 million.
So, I mean, for this $40 million, we don't seem to be getting too much down to the bottom line. Is there any, I mean, has it substantially underperformed our expectations?
Well, it is on track in many ways till the end of last year, which is still, I think there is some noise going at somebody's background. It has performed on track as per our projections as of last year. And we are discussing a revenue level of nearly $90 million, for which we paid $40 million. And last year, I think their EBITDA was about $6 million. So it is in line with the return that we were expecting.
And what about, sir, at the PBT or PAT level? What is the level that we see at this $90 million kind of a sales level?
Well, actually, they gave us tax assets. So, in fact, PAT level, they would be much higher. Otherwise, their depreciation levels are next to negligible.
So, at $90 million, what is the kind of number that we should see at the bottom line?
Last year?
No, at, you mentioned you are looking at a number of $90 million, right?
No, I am talking about last year, they did $90 million.
Okay.
They would have generated about $8 million PAT if you take their tax assets, right?
And going forward, what do you see the kind of growth rate in this company?
Yeah, see, the current year is slightly different because, as I mentioned, one part of the business is growing well and fairly robustly. The other side of the business, which is to do with custom content, is not growing. In fact, is degrowing. That's why the total is flat. So we have to make sure that they achieve their positive growth and we are able to achieve the guidance that we have given.
And given the fact that the US market is going into a slump, is there any thought on divesting this business or restructuring it substantially?
I think this is an opportunity for us to get our training outsourcing a larger thrust in terms of getting an advantage on getting large outsourcing contracts.
Right, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Jamil Ansari from Lehman Brothers. You can go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hello, sir. Sir, just want to check whether we have taken any price hikes in our individual learning business this year?
No. We have retained the same fee levels as last year.
Okay. And on the IFBI and Imperia side, sir, what are the kind of center additions that we have done in the last quarter?
We already reported we were in 22 centers when we declared annual results on June sometime. That's the same number.
Okay. And have we slowed down our plan to add centers on that side of the business by any chance?
No. We have plans to reach 30 centers. We would be in 30 centers by the end of the year.
Okay. And sir, I mean, just some explanation on the corporate side of the business. I mean, how come the profitability varies so much that, I mean, you end up making no profits and some slowdown in revenues? I mean, what's the reason for that?
Very simple. We are in a transition situation. We are turning around the business. it is at a very low margin because it was a loss-making business which we turned around, got it into a positive region. Right now we are battling an economic situation as well. So when there is a small spike in expenses, either in this case salary increase or a slight marketing campaign or new product introduction, the wafer thin, the thin margin which we have goes away in that quarter. But then it can recover also equally well because these are small numbers.
No. Okay, sir, but when we used to report separately for corporate and Element K, I mean, your corporate business used to do around 15-16% margin till last year. So, I mean, at least half of your business does good margin. So, I mean, you are saying that Element K ended up making some $6 million profit last year.
Yes.
So, I mean, what's the problem here? Is the corporate side doing badly or how is it going?
No, so last year we had explained to, I think in some of the earlier calls, we had explained that this transition of moving from custom projects, which is sustainable, which is very susceptible to a single project, single revenue. I mean, if you get the project, you get the revenue. If you don't get the project, then you are sitting with the capacity, is a situation which we wanted to change. And we've been working, and our business was large, a large amount of our business was that. So last year was one part of the transition. Element K is the other part of the transition. So at this point of time, when you take a stock of the situation at the end of one quarter, you won't see that change so dramatically. So I think you would see the change over the year as you see the learning products and outsourcing business gaining momentum.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next, we have Mr. Yogesh Parekh from HDFC Securities. Mr. Parekh, you can go ahead, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Yes. Hi, good evening, Yogesh.
Sir, actually, what has gone wrong since we have shown the growth on the sequential basis in the corporate learning by around 5%?
Yes.
What has changed from the last quarter on the sequential basis itself? Because the margin has fallen by something around 4.3%.
Yes.
In spite of the rupee depreciating.
Yes.
And I believe we get benefit of around in this segment by around 70 to 20 bps for percentage change in the rupee.
No. So let me explain once again. As I mentioned, sequentially, the impact of rupee depreciation sequentially, if you do a sequential calculation, is 8 million rupees.
Okay.
Okay. The margin reduction is, or well, let's call it margin reduction, is complement is affected by two things. One is salary increases. So if you look at the salaries of last quarter and multiply them, let's take an average across the world by 7%. So 7% of that, of the salaries, would contribute a significant sum. Then the additional sales and marketing activity, which is typically true for the beginning of a quarter, and given the fact that we have new product rollouts and new campaigns, some of which we shared with you, that would explain the difference.
But sir, at the time of the acquisition of Element K,
yes,
we were expecting that our margin will go to the double digit by end of FY09. Okay, and it will improve to the level of the company before the Element K acquisition by FY10.
Yes.
So,
there is one change which has taken place to that, and that is the current economic situation.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, we are hopeful that we would reach an improvement in margin over last year in the coming year. I mean, in this year.
On overall,
as far as the guidance that we gave you at the big 1 month ago, I think 5 weeks ago, when we did at the end of the, we are on track as far as that guidance is concerned. There is no change as far as that is concerned.
Overall corporate learning margin, are we going to achieve that 4.5% roughly, at least for FY09?
Yes, I said we will improve 200 basis points over last year.
Okay.
Which we will for the year.
And what will lead to this significant improvement in margin on the base of Q1 FY?
As I mentioned, there is one part of the corporate business which is growing at a good speed, and that is higher margin. There is another part which is degrowing, and has degrown to a level at this time. And right now we are seeing the balancing effect of that. Now, if the one which has degrown, which is custom content and custom projects, remains flat and the other grows, that is what will cause margins. Third, you can see this impact from large orders. If you remember, in the last quarter, we had very large orders. Even this quarter, we have very large orders. Their revenue takes time to kick in. Remember, this is annuity-based revenue. These are three-year contracts. These are so they may appear larger in value, but the revenue comes over 3 years. Good news is it's annuity-based revenue.
Okay. And sir, second question is regarding this FMT business.
Yes.
On the sequential basis, because I believe it is less on the seasonality side.
Yes.
And plus the banking and all has done a lot of the after the campus hiring.
Yes.
In this quarter. So on the sequential basis, it should not have shown the decline, but it has shown.
No, it will show a decline for two reasons, because it depends on the admission cycle, which is in this quarter. The second is, if you see the track record of our individual learning business of for the last 2 or 3 years, quarter one is always slower than quarter four.
Right.
Correct. So this follows the same, this is addressing the same segment of population.
And sir, can you give me the detailed breakup of the diluted equity, total number of share outstanding, FCCB outstanding, and the ESOPs outstanding?
We don't have any FCCB outstanding.
Okay.
We have ESOPs outstanding, and I will give you that in a second.
Yes, sir.
We have 1.451 million outstanding ESOPs of at the new equity level, which is 2 rupees a share.
And what is the total equity base right now?
164.7 million equity shares totally.
Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Sunil from Credit Suisse. Mr. Sunil, you can go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, a couple of questions. I just want to get back to the corporate business margins again. I think
yeah.
A lot of us are a bit worried about that.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 10% YOY growth, and you're talking about a 200 basis points improvement over last year, and you had no margins this year. So you're talking about something like 9% margins for the next three quarters.
Yes.
We haven't done this since we took over Element Chem. Just wondering where this would come from.
So a lot of this is coming from the order intake that we have. See, what you have been seeing in the last three quarters, including last quarter, a very healthy order intake. So one question which I was expecting, which I might as well tell you, how is it that we have such healthy order intake in the last few quarters, but we don't have corresponding revenue? The reason for that is that earlier order intake in custom projects used to burn very quickly, because these were individual projects. As soon as you get, you start burning them. Now you have outsourcing projects which are over 3 to 5 years, so it gives you better annuity revenue. Same thing with learning products, because they create a much, it's a subscription-based revenue which comes over the years. As we are changing the product mix, and as we are looking at this order execution, that's what gives us the confidence.
Okay. So,
and the new orders are for the products which have better margin than the custom projects.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. So, that was last.
Yeah. And could you just remind me of your guidances on your various businesses on both your top line growth and on margins? Because you seem to be referring back to what you said earlier. It would be great if you could just remind us about that.
Oh, yes. So we had talked about the individual learning business, and we had said that we would look at a 30% kind of a growth that we had experienced. We are ahead of that projection. This quarter, we grew 34%. We had talked of a margin improvement in that by about 100 to 200 basis points over the year. We are 100 basis points above in this business. In the in the school learning business, we had said, based on the order intake and the visibility that we see, we do see a growth which could be in excess of 40%. We are at this time 42%. We had once again talked about 100 to 200 basis points, more than 100 to 200 basis points improvement in margin. We are on track for that. Corporate Learning Solutions, we had last year grown at, what was last year's overall growth? Sorry, last year's growth would not be representative, but we had said that we would grow by 7%, 7 to 10% range in this year. We are at this point of time flat. We last year had a margin of 5%, and we had said we would improve that margin by 200 basis points. In this quarter, we are just break-even, and as I explained just a few minutes ago, we would recover that as we execute the contracts over the next 3 quarters.
And your new business, sir?
I included that in the individual learning solution. Sorry, I did not talk about individual. I have to add that. The finance management training business, we had talked about a growth of more than 100%, and we had actually referred to a number of 70 to 80 crores, which Sonal also referred to, and we talked of a margin north of 10%.
And all the numbers that you, the growth numbers you gave are based on rupee?
They are based on rupee.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will take the last question from Ms. Subhashini from JM Financial.
Hi, my question was regarding the government side of the business. We've said that we are servicing around 6,643 schools in this quarter, but the revenue from government schools actually sequentially has dipped quite a bit. So, despite the healthy addition in this quarter, so could you explain me the changes here?
Yeah, the changes are because of execution of the government business has to start. So we are right now in terms of implementing many of those projects. So the full revenue of those projects would not have kicked in. It is only as much as got implemented during the quarter. So that would be the difference. So we had Maharashtra, Bihar, and Andhra Pradesh. So Andhra Pradesh, anyways, an order of this quarter, very little would have got executed, whatever little part. The Maharashtra order got... We have actually started delivering education there, but we got very few days during this quarter. And Bihar, we are in the process of installation and other things, so that has not yet started happening.
Okay.
So you will see that revenue pan out during the rest of the year.
Okay.
And Gaurav, operator?
Yes, sir, I'm here online.
I think if there are more questions, we should extend it. So just if there are more questions, I would like to take those questions, please.
Yeah, we have 5 more participants in the line.
Very good. So let's take those questions. Let's extend it by 15 minutes.
Sure.
I just had another question. I just want to know what's the percentage contribution from custom content development in this quarter?
In this quarter, just one moment. I just gave the number. What is the percentage? What is the 240? Yeah, it's about 18%, 19%, I think.
Okay. And lastly, we have added more than 2,000...
17%, sorry.
Okay.
It is 17% to be precise. Yeah.
Okay. And this quarter, we have added, around 2,000 centers globally. So I was just wondering, could you give us a split between, how many of these were owned centers and how many are franchisee?
No, first of all, we have added 2,124 schools. So schools have to be schools are where we implement the government contracts. Those are not centers.
Okay.
The centers which we have added are the education centers, which are few in India and a few outside of the country.
What would that number?
Two additions in India. And the rest are outside the country.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
I also wanted to clarify one more data point for the benefit of everybody. I think in the beginning of the call, I did refer to the scholarship campaign in Nigeria, and I talked about enrollments. I was referring to the enrollments in the scholarship exam,
not enrollments emerging out of that exam. Just a clarification.
Yes. Next in line, we have Mr. Ankur from ING Investment. Mr. Ankur, you can go ahead, sir.
Hi, just a quick question. Probably somebody you may have answered it earlier anyways, but still, see, in the government contracts which you have got, the order book which you have added this quarter, what are the kind of margins you are looking at that? Will it be the average margin you have been maintaining on that segment, or will it be something different, if you can throw some light?
Yes, see, in government contracts, the operating margin finally that you are left with is ranges between 10 to 15%.
Will it be the same for this, the 2 billion which you added last quarter?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next, we have Mr. Devendra from Kotak.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Thadani.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah, good. I have some questions on the depreciation side.
Yeah.
We've seen the depreciation lower for the quarter. Any particular reason for that vis-a-vis YOY, and we could extrapolate it for the whole year?
No, you cannot extrapolate this depreciation for the whole year because the depreciation on the new government contracts is yet to come in, those which qualify for that. So right now, the depreciation will basically come on the basis of asset addition, and we can, if you would like, we can separately provide a data point of how the depreciation will look on the basis of revenues that we are projecting.
Okay. In terms of, you mentioned about your EBIT margins of 8 to 10% in the new institutional project business basically.
Yes.
Now considering that deposit now 20 to 25% of sales in this, is it fair to assume that these business have a margin of 30 to 35% on the EBIT side? EBITDA basically?
No. It depends on how you do your accounting. That depends on how you do your accounting. When we do a project-based pricing, for us, it's not depreciation at the bottom. So it depends on the project. So if the project is very strongly services driven, then obviously there is no depreciation. If this project involves depreciation, then you will get this.
No, my question relates to this particular contract which you've got recently from Andhra Pradesh.
Yes.
Would it be safe to assume that since this involves CapEx also,
yes,
that the EBITDA margin in this project would be around 30 to 35%?
If we were to look at assuming that 20% of the project cost is capital,
right?
20% of the revenue is capital, then what you just did is valid.
Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Srivastav from TechnoShares. You can
Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Most of the questions have been answered. Just wanted some clarification on your corporate business. The two segments that you mentioned was custom development and training, right? Sir, in the training, if you can throw some more light on the kind of, you know, billing structure or what is the gestation period that you see before the actual money starts flowing in, first thing. And okay, I'll go one by one, sir.
Okay. So first let's look at a custom project.
Yes,
if
sir.
You get a custom project, let's say you get a custom project for $200,000, which is to develop, let's say, a 1 hour course on a particular subject. You would put a team together which will develop this course, and you will try to do it as fast as you can so that you can burn that $200,000 as quickly as you can. So typically, one course takes about 3 to 4 months to complete, so you would typically finish this project in 2 quarters. I mean, I'm just taking a, depending on the number of teams that are at place. On the other hand, when you get, by the way, what I called the second part of the business is not training. Training is, well, in general, the business we are in. I called it learning products and training outsourcing. Learning products is an e-learning library we have, and we have publishing materials also. In that, a part of the business delivers immediately, which means if you're ordering published materials, and published materials, as soon as they get delivered, you get that revenue. But a large part of that business is to do with an e-learning library. So you sell a subscription for that library, which is over a 3-year period. So you would typically in 1 quarter recognize 1/12
of that revenue, given the fact that it's 3 years and four quarters in each year, that is 1/12 of that order intake, would you recognize in that quarter? The third, the second part of the business is training outsourcing. In training outsourcing, depending on what function has been outsourced to you, which could be training delivery. If it is training delivery, it could be doing, let's say, X days of training over a period of a year or something, or 2 years, in which case you would recognize it as you deliver that training. So typically, the contracts that you get in these two, you recognize revenue over a three-year period. The contracts that you get in custom content development, you recognize over a two-quarter period.
Right.
That, I would say, is a broad understanding or broad difference between the two.
Okay. Sir, hello?
Yeah.
Sir, in the learning products and training outsourcing business,
yeah.
Give me the revenues that you had seen last quarter.
Yes. What was it? No, is your question, what was that revenue?
Yes, sir. What was the...
Yeah, so I have the revenue with me. I just shared it with... So 17% of the revenue was custom content.
Yes, sir.
83% of the revenue was in training outsourcing and learning products.
Okay. Fine, sir. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Next question that I have... sir, if I believe you might have discussed this earlier also, but if you can just highlight what was the Forex benefit or impact that you seen, that you had seen this quarter, and under which line item do you club do you show that as such?
Okay, so first of all, on a sequential basis, we had a benefit of 45 million rupees. And in revenue and 45 million on sequential basis, it was 45 million in revenue and 8 million in profits. And in case of year on year, it was negative 28 million in revenue and negative 6 million in profit. The revenue gets accounted for in the revenue itself.
Okay.
The profit part would typically be visible in other income.
Okay. Okay. Sir, and lastly, how are you planning your hedging strategy, and what should be the effective rate that one can take in?
As far as we are concerned, our dependence on Forex hedging is lower, given the fact that a large part of our expense also is in dollars. Element K, for example, have a very strong dollar revenue,
right,
and a dollar expense.
Right.
So we don't have to hedge for that. They naturally balance each other. But we do hedge for the transfer pricing, which we do for the amount of work which Element K does offshore and the amount of work which NIT does offshore. So I think our current hedging is to the tune of about $6 million over the next 18-month period.
Okay.
So it's very small.
Hello? At what rate, sir?
I can share that rate with you. I'll just have to check in the book.
Right, sir. Okay, fine, sir. I am through. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Nitin Sehgal from Dodge.
Hey guys, a question on China revenue. I think you said it was up only 3% year over year. Is that right?
That's right.
Any explanation for that?
No, I think it's to do with the admission cycles. As we mentioned, that in quarter four and quarter two are the large admission cycles. So in this quarter, you would not have had an admission cycle. We actually did open new centers, but their admissions we'll get only in the next quarter.
But last year, first quarter, was it any different with the admission cycle?
Last quarter, in fact, I had mentioned also in last quarter, because in the admissions last year, our quarter four admissions had spilled part of them into quarter one.
Okay, so that explains it.
Yeah.
And then next question is on the $20 million incremental marketing spend that you said you incurred. Was that all in ILS or was that across all businesses?
No, I was only referring to ILS because I was expecting
your delta revenue over delta EBITDA.
I figured that's why you gave the explanation. And then the other cost increases, you said travel, energy, rentals, and standard salary hikes. Is there any way to quantify what's above what you had expected given the inflation scenario?
No, what I gave as the figure for salary raises, that includes everything because there are no... what I did mention was that the travel costs and energy costs and rental costs were much higher. However, what I didn't mention was that our salary increases were not as high over the previous year as it was last year. So to that extent, they kind of balanced each other. But the salary increases, the fact that they happened in quarter one, they do affect quarter one.
Okay, got it. And then the next question is, in the IFBI, have you seen any slowdown in, I guess, new enrollments, given, not because of seasonality, but because of what's happening in the banking sector, slowdowns? Or is that not in-
What does affect is the product mix, and part of this was already rolled into our plans. And maybe Dr. Day, you would like to say a couple of more words on this.
Yeah. So far, what we've seen has been factored into our plans, which were made in consultation with our partners, and it has been countered or compensated by product mix, where we have ramped up other programs.
So we were saying sort of new products and new client penetration helped, but actually same clients may have slowed down a little bit if you hadn't had new products.
Yes, that is correct. We always had new products. In that sense, it's against the plans that we had made when we were making the plans at the start of the year.
Okay.
The other thing is you must know that for one of the banks, we were one of the sources they had for recruitment. Now we are the only source. So to that extent, even if they have had a slowdown in recruitment, as far as we are concerned, it is a positive growth.
Okay, understood. And my last question is, when will the Genpact JV start showing some revenue? Is that this year or is that next fiscal?
No. It would be in this fiscal and next quarter.
So Q2 or Q3?
Q3,
okay.
We are in Q2 right now.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, guys. All the best.
Thank you, Nitin.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, are we? Do we have more questions still coming up, or?
Yeah, we do have some.
Okay, so maybe we should just make it last three questions.
Okay, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Vishal Agarwal from Citigroup.
Yeah, this is Hitesh here.
Hi, Hitesh.
Yeah, just wanted to understand the rationale of not taking the fee hike despite kind of volume growth we had seen in the new enrollment.
Well, I think we had worked out based on our product policy and what we had seen as the emerging salary that people were getting, that this is the right that's the right fee which we would like to charge. And I think that strategy has worked out well because we have seen good volume growth.
Secondly, most of the mid-caps have slowed their hiring plans. Also, you know, as IT training is generally a late cyclical both in the upturn and in the downturn. So have we seen any of the early signs in the consumer sentiments yet?
No. In fact, this is something which we are very concerned about and we constantly keep a watch on that. I had mentioned to you there were three indicators that we look at. Number one is the response to our IT aptitude exam. That response was very positive. The second is what happens to those who take a break to take exams, who are the ones who are studying. We have had exactly the same or better return ratio than we normally get. And number three is the response which we give to another season. Should I say campaign called Career Scope, where we invite people to come and get career guidance and figure out whether they like IT as a career, or do they have the right aptitude and stuff like that. Even that response has been very good. The hypothesis which I had shared with you as well was that the number of engineering graduates, the number of those who wanted to take IT as a career has not reduced. It is possible that
recruitments may have got delayed or but there are recruitments. So, and large number of recruitments to be done. So obviously, one of the psychs which are working in people's minds is also that if I have to compete in a more aggressive manner for the same job, I better be better equipped with appropriate skills. And I think that's playing out and is visible in our numbers. The fourth thing which does matter is how people do the inquiries as we advertise, as we do all the campaigns. What do our contact centers collect as inquiries? We are not seeing any change other than what we had planned for. So I think we are on track as far as we can say. Of course, this quarter is an important quarter. We are already in the first month of that quarter, and we see positive signs all over the place. Having said that, let's talk about the finance banking side of the equation, where I said it does happen when you see news items. It does raise questions in people's mind because that's a new industry in many ways. But the product mix changes and the new product launches is making up for that difference.
Sure. On the corporate business, there was a positive impact of the INR which we just discussed.
Yes.
So were there any particular headwinds that impacted us, and how do we see those for the next three quarters?
Yeah. See, the headwind that we were talking about was our custom projects, which we had talked about earlier also.
Right.
Custom projects, and by the way, that is an experience which everybody who is dealing with custom projects in the industry, in U.S., all custom software development, custom content development, all those are affected by much slower decision-making cycles, much slower spends, much slower funnels. So we are also affected by that, and we had anticipated that, and that's why we had started working on changing the product mix. In our plans for the year, we had anticipated the fact that it is possible that custom content in this transition, custom content at one point of time may be low enough that overall growth may be hampered, but for the overall year's plan, we don't see any change or we don't see any impact. Why do we believe that situation would in custom content be better? Because we are at this point of time very close to what we have in hand and need more business in custom content for us to continue, but we do see that coming in at much, much slower rate than what we would have done last year. So I think it is in line with what we have seen so far.
Sure. What is the percentage of our pending order book that has custom content in it?
I will just tell you.
Maybe I'll ask a further question as we go along. In the corporate business, we said India business grew 114%. So what was the quantum of the India business during the quarter?
114 million rupees.
114 million. And how much came from Evolve?
Evolve would be
19
million out of that.
19?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. And in the individual business IT part, how much was the India revenue in the net revenue?
India revenue in the net revenue. It grew 39% year on year. Net? Okay, tell me what was the India. We'll just give you in a second. Hitesh, I don't have the order book. I have order intake for last quarter, and where what was the percentage of custom projects? It was 16%. But I can pull out the order book also.
Sure.
Not right now. I may have to give it to you separately.
Sure, not an issue.
Yeah.
The net revenue for India, you said, grew 39%, right? YOY? IT part of it.
No, just one moment. Let me just give you the right number. I have it from here. Actually, now IT India is the third level detail. So that's why. No, 34% is. Sorry? Year on year? Okay. System-wide revenue grew 39%.
Okay.
And net revenue grew 28%.
Sure. Lastly, a couple of bookkeeping questions. What was the sundry debtors in rupees million?
Sundry debtors in rupees million. Just give me a second, please. 2243.
And lastly, can you break up the debt between dollar term loan, working capital loan, and rupee term loan?
Just one moment, I can do that. 36.5 million dollars. No, so the balance would be the rupee loan, right? Hitesh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I said $36.5 million is Forex.
Okay. Did we raise any further loan from the Forex? Because I remember we paid off a little bit of it last quarter.
Yes, we did. We paid off a little bit. There would have been a working capital component which would have got added perhaps. That was before March itself. I can reconcile, we can reconcile that with you if you like.
Sure, no, not an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you, Hitesh.
Thank you very much, sir. Next, we have Mr. Sushil from Pioneer.
Hi, this is Ruchir from Pioneer. Just a couple of questions again on the corporate learning solutions. You mentioned your learning products grew 15% year-on-year. I was wondering if it would be possible to give you the growth rates for the other two segments of your corporate business, that is training, outsourcing, and custom projects.
I gave you learning products and training outsourcing put together at 15%.
All right.
Correct.
And would it be possible to give the margins in this business? What kind of margins would we be having if you could break up the margins? Between
no, it would be difficult to break margin at OM level.
Okay, just coming to the pricing in the corporate learning solutions, what are the kind of pricing environment you are seeing in the market for both these segments?
Frankly, not. It's the problem is not with pricing. The problem is with decision making, and the sales cycle.
All right.
So there's no. We don't see any softness in pricing.
All right. Early in your opening remarks, you mentioned that custom projects are seeing some sluggish trends, but they are expected to improve going forward. Just wanted to understand, why do you expect things to improve going forward? What are you seeing in the market for you to expect these things to improve going forward?
Yeah, so I'll repeat that statement. What I did mention was that our corporate business, on one side, we saw positive growth, 15% growth in learning products and training outsourcing, which was balanced by a sluggish custom projects business, which is what caused it to remain flat. Going forward, we see the growth in learning products and training outsourcing to actually exceed that, obviously, the share of the total business, and that's why we see positive growth going ahead of us.
All right, great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Should we say last question or are we done?
We have Mr. Vishal from Centrum Broking.
Okay, so that's the last question. Thank you.
Mr. Vishal, you can go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Sir, I would like to know what were the exact number of schools that were added in the form of Andhra Pradesh, and what is the total number of schools that are there under your government, what we call product?
Okay, total number of projects, schools which we service.
Excluding the ones which have already been terminated.
Yeah, obviously.
6643.
Government school, yeah.
Okay. And this is inclusive of the 2005 which you signed up with Andhra Pradesh recently?
This includes the 2005.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And what are your prospects in terms of looking forward, and how do you see the payments from the government coming in? As in, has the time period decreased, or is it still the same as such?
No. We can't live with the time period that we have lived in the past 2-3 years. So obviously, you have to keep very close watch. We have been, as you can see, our overall receivable days are only 79.
Right.
So we have been fairly particular on collections, and that's what we hope to continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
It will, of course, require monitoring. That's all.
Oh, okay.
So we do see the payment terms are much more favorable than they used to be. There are early mobilization payments so that you don't, put all your money at risk.
Right. Okay, that's about it. Thanks a lot, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. At this moment, I would like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Vijay Thadani for the final remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you very much for a very engaging question and answer session. My friends in individual learning solutions business are feeling a bit neglected because they received very few questions. On the other hand, my friends in corporate learning solutions are feeling very encouraged by your remarks and, of course, the challenge that they have in front of them. I must point out that even though it may appear that the corporate learning business in this quarter would have shown a trend which can look not very encouraging, but we do want to say that less than, 6 weeks ago we had spoken with you on the Investor Day as well as in the subsequent meetings and talked about a trajectory for the corporate business over the year. We remain committed to that trajectory, and the current economic situation is already factored into that. An improvement in that situation would obviously help us better. A further deterioration of that situation, we will cross the bridge when we reach there. But I think at this point of time, the current economic situation, the current business situation is already factored in. And I think we remain committed to what we had talked about. On the individual learning business, I do want to repeat the fact that we are ahead of our projections, and to an extent, we can see that the higher profitability and faster growing businesses where we have strong market situation are doing better, which in a sense de-risks the overall business to a large extent. The slower growing businesses and where we are at the where the environment is hurting us, we do have firm plans to deal with them, and you will see those panning out in the next few quarters. Once again, nearly 90% of our profit is coming out of businesses where we are very strong, so we are fairly hopeful of achieving what we had guided the market for and guided all of you for. So with that, I would like to close this session right now. I'm sure there will be follow-up questions and data details which will be required at next level. We'd be very happy to provide them. Kapil, Chetna, myself, Mr. Vijay Kumar, all of us are available to you, and both in person as well as through email. The respective business heads are also at your disposal for more details or demonstrations or sites that you would like to visit. Thank you once again. We learned a lot in today's conversation, like always. All the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for choosing WebEx Conferencing Service. That concludes this conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect the lines. Thank you and have a nice evening.